This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Well, out in Cleveland County, Tim Peeler sparked renewed interest in the legend of Bigfoot. Tim swears he saw him, said the creature was 10 feet tall and had six fingers on each hand. Scary as he was, Tim told Charlotte's News Channel 36 he managed to chase the beast away.
I come out here and rough talked him and run him off. And I said, get away from here. Get. And he went right back out that path again.
It's not the first time a Cleveland County Bigfoot sighting has grabbed headlines. The history of the creature, known in that area as Nobby, goes back decades. I'm joined on the phone now by Mike Conley. He's a reporter for the McDowell News in Marion, writes a weekly column on the paranormal called Mike Conley's Tales of the Weird. Welcome to the program, Mike.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
A lot of weird stuff going on out where you live?
There have been sightings of Bigfoot in western North Carolina for decades. There are a number of counties in western North Carolina that have reported sightings. And, of course, the best known of these is Nobby, which occurred over 30 years ago in rural Cleveland County.
Now remind us how he got that name.
That's because the sightings of this creature happened around Carpenter's Knob, which is a little mountain just north of Kings Mountain in rural Cleveland. And it just so happened that the sightings of this creature happened to occur around Carpenter's Knob, and the local media and folks started calling the creature Nobby.
Are the descriptions pretty consistent? What does he look like?
Nobby has been described as a 200-pound, 6-foot-tall, dark, hairy animal with a small head and a flat face. He has been described as walking upright. There are other reports that describe him as being much bigger than that, 7 to 8 feet tall. But generally, he was described as being about the same size as a normal man.
Yeah, now Tim saw him at about 10 feet, but assuming he doesn't have one of those rulers on any of his trees like they do at the 7-Eleven, he's just guessing, right?
Right. It's probably hard to determine size, especially I believe his sighting occurred in early morning hours,
yeah,
and it was probably fairly dark.
How about the fur and the color? Has that changed over time?
No, it hasn't. He's usually black. But I know that Tim's sighting said that he was rather blonde, yellowish blonde hair. So this could be maybe a different type of Nobby, or maybe the same creature that
could
changed over time.
Could be white. Could be just getting old.
It could be.
Tell us about there's a footprint found in Burke County. Tell us about that.
Yes, that happened in a community called George Hildebrand. And a gentleman named Elbert Pork Lohman of the George Hildebrand community found a large footprint the very same day after Tim Peeler's sighting. It was found in a tractor path on some land that Mr. Lohman's brother owns, and the footprint measures 8 inches across from toe to toe and about 15.25 inches long.
Wow. So, and has anybody else checked this out?
Yes. Bigfoot investigator Tom Biscardi, who is the CEO and founder of Searching for Bigfoot Incorporated, traveled to Burke County so that he could take a closer look at this mysterious footprint. And they even made a plaster cast of it.
Now, are these, you know, we know this really got started in the 70s. There were a number of sightings. Have things quieted down, or have there always been kind of consistent and persistent sightings of Bigfoot?
Well, for this particular phenomenon, it quieted down. Back in the winter of 78 and 79, there were about 16 sightings of Nobby in the area around Carpenter's Knob. I mean, it was a very big story at the time, made headlines. WBTV, I believe, did a special program about Nobby. And I remember watching that when I was about 12 years old. And then it kind of died down. In the spring of 79, the sightings died down, the phenomena kind of died down, and people just, you know, moved on and started talking about other things.
And how does our Bigfoot, Nobby, compare with other sightings of other Bigfoot and Sasquatch and all around the world, I guess?
Well, Nobby is, like I said, about the same build and the same height. Generally, the sightings have been consistent as far as about 6 feet tall. Bigfoot in, say, the Pacific Northwest is generally described as being much bigger, about 7 to 8 feet tall, and having a much greater stride. When they measure the footprints from one to the other, he usually has a much larger stride, too.
How does law enforcement take these claims of sightings?
Probably with a grain of salt. I mean, they have to take what the people are saying seriously.
Well, and there has been some loss of property associated with the sightings, whatever was causing it, right? I mean, animal, livestock, and things have been lost.
Well, in the height of the Nobby sightings from the 70s, there was a man who lives in Kayser who said that his goat was killed by Nobby. He claimed that his goat was killed because his neck was broken, and he suspected that Nobby might have been the killer. And they also found an animal den and tracts that they believe was used by Nobby. Searchers at that time said the tracts were large as a man's hand and had a thumb-like protrusion.
Well, Mike, thank you very much for talking with us. Well, I guess we'll check in with you for now and then and see how things are going.
I would appreciate that because I write a weekly column about the paranormal called Tales of the Weird. It's published in the McDowell News. And I not only look at Bigfoot sightings, but I look at UFOs, ghosts, the Bermuda Triangle, and other unexplained phenomena.
Thank you very much, Mike. Good to talk with you.
Hey, thank you very much.
Mike Conley is a reporter for the McDowell News in Marion, and as he said, he writes a weekly column on the paranormal called Mike Conley's Tales of the Weird. Well, the state of things has succeeded where others have failed. We have managed to find Bigfoot, and he's agreed to talk with us in what I believe is his first interview ever. He's on the line with us now from his compound in Cleveland County, North Carolina. Bigfoot, welcome to State of Things.
Hello, Frank. It's a pleasure not to be here.
May I call you Big?
Absolutely.
Now, I notice you're in Cleveland County. I don't know how long your family has been here in North Carolina, but you seem to have a British accent.
Well, I'm a metaphor, Frank, and all metaphors have British accents. Similes, of course, since they involve like and have American accents. I'm like a simile, but metaphors have British accents.
You seem to know a great deal about literature for someone who has spent his entire life, I guess, in a cave or in the woods.
Oh, no, absolutely. We're much more cosmopolitan than that. We actually... I and my colleagues in the cryptozoological movement actually have conventions where we discuss these phenomena. So, no, we've discussed it quite widely.
And so what is it that you talk about when you get together? Is it the sort of the incredulity that you produce in our society? Or
well,
is it?
You see, Frank, we're a metaphor for the vanishing unknowns of the natural world. Once upon a time, there was real mystery. The maps had these gaps on them. One could believe that there would be a hippogriff or a unicorn around the next hill. Herodotus believed in the phoenix. Even in the 18th century, scientific journals were full of wild speculation about this animal and that. And all of that's changed. You know, on the one hand, things are so much better known and classified. We have our cameras and our satellites. And if I were real, I'd probably be on Flickr or Google Street View by now. And on the other hand, of course, we're wiping all these species out left and right. Global warming, deforestation. May I say, British Petroleum is doing simply a marvelous job of killing off the unknown species of the deep seabed. And all of that simplifies the zoological classification task wonderfully. And so my colleagues in the cryptozoology movement and I get together at these conferences, and really we discuss how our fragmentary and blurry sightings can restore people's sense of wonder, of mystery, the idea that there's something unknown out there living amongst us.
So you actually celebrate the fact that there is this kind of this gray area, that people find it hard to believe in you.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. People need that sense of wonder and that sense of mystery. I mean, the Loch Ness Monster, the Yeti, the Abominable Snowman, one of my own personal favorites, the blood-drinking chupacabra of Latin America. These are all things on the fringes of belief, which I think add this spice to life and give people a sense that there is something mysterious out there that they can believe in. We used to also invite the gray aliens from the UFOs, but they would insist on doing those rather invasive and embarrassing physical examinations, you know, the one all the abductees talk about, and that was terribly inconvenient during the conference proceedings.
Does it bother you? It seems to me that in the dominant narrative, the voice of Bigfoot is noticeably absent. Is it time, do you think, for that voice to be heard?
Oh, absolutely, and I think I've got a big renaissance coming on. I mean, on the one hand, technology has been very bad for us in the cryptozoological world because, of course, you know, there are cameras and and there is sonar, and it's just harder to come up with a credible story that we actually exist. But on the other hand, technology is our friend and really spreads our story beautifully. The internet is wonderful. I actually have a Wikipedia page, although it's depressingly sane and skeptical, I'm afraid.
Be looking forward to those updates. Say, I understand that you're really not happy with Bigfoot. You call that your legendary monster name. And in fact, prefer to be called by your given name. Is it Clive Baxter?
No. I'm certainly not Clive Baxter. My identity must remain secret. And in fact, this visit to North Carolina was something of a risk of exposure. You know, it was a little bit of a risk to do it, but we did have a very specific reason for wanting to put on a Bigfoot or Sasquatch sighting in the Tar Heel State.
Why is that?
Well, it was compassion, really. I mean, the struggles of UNC's men's basketball team last year were so pitiful that we really thought that probably only a cryptozoological event could distract their many fans.
We will have to wait and see next season how well it worked out. Bigfoot, thank you so very much for talking with us.
It was a pleasure not to be here.
Bigfoot spoke with us from his office in Cleveland County, North Carolina. Coming up, there's more than hairy monsters in them, Tar Heels. The founders of the North Carolina School of Traditional Music are up next on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.